I'd like to welcome. Sorry, we just need to turn off mics. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak and I will bring in members as listed. Type Q if you wish to ask a question or C for a comment, P to propose and S to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. So, good evening, everyone. You're very welcome to this committee meeting for October. Have we any apologies? I had an apology from Councillor McMurray. Any other apologies? You any more? Okay. I just have Councillor Andrews has made me aware that Strangford was awarded the best kept, most improved village today at the Amenity Council Awards. So well done to Strangford on getting that award. A few of our councillors were at that. Alright. Okay, we'll move on to item two, which is declarations of conflict of interest. None. Okay. Item three is the action sheet of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the Wednesday, the 20th of September, 2022. We'll just take it page by page. So page one, page two, page three. Had we any issues arising? No. Sorry, folks, just before we move on, I meant to say in my opening remarks, myself as chair, I have to leave this meeting at 7 p.m. So if we're not finished up, Councillor Andrews is going to take over. Okay, and I think a couple of my colleagues will have to leave too. So thank you. So item four. Oh, sorry. Proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Finnegan. Thank you. Item four is an update report on vegetation growth with Ockram Little River at the event space Kilkeel. Kevin, you're taking this one?
That's right, Chair. The report provides the committee with the findings of an investigation into the cause of a significant growth of vegetation in that section of the river. A copy of the report commissioned by the council and undertaken by ECOM was provided at Appendix 1 within the report. Report identifies the most likely cause of the build-up in vegetation to be a combination of the slow flow of the river in that part obstacles in the river as well at that location, which allows the build-up of silt and then the subsequent growth of vegetation arising from this. The report also identifies within the growth of vegetation Himalayan balsam, which is a recognised invasive species. Three high-level concepts options are provided by the report to address the issue. Outline costs are provided for each option, taking account of the annual maintenance cost, and it looks over a 30-year period. Consideration is also given to what current steps could be taken to address the growth of vegetation pending any agreed capital project. Land ownership, Chair, is and responsibility for this issue is highlighted. There's not clarity in terms of that, and further work's required on that. So, Chair, councillors are asked to note the contents of the report, and the recommendation arising from the report is to agree to the council organising consultation with all relevant stakeholders on the findings of the report. Consultation include the Mourne DEA councillors, Kilkeel Development Association, landowners adjacent to this section of the river, DFI Rivers Agency, and Inland Fisheries. Now, the purpose of consultation, Chair, will be to seek to agree a preferred option and agreement on a way forward. Chair, that's the report and recommendation.
Thank you, Kevin. I don't see anyone coming in there. Could I get a proposer and a seconder for item four, please? Proposed by Councillor Curran. Oh, sorry. Councillor Ruan, have you a comment?
Yeah, obviously Harold's specific to this one, so I'll let Harold go first.
Okay. Go on ahead, Harold.
Well, apologies, I'm not a member. If you want to go ahead there, maybe.
No, we'll let you go ahead if Councillor Rowan's happy enough.
Okay. No, I thought maybe there would have been a few other locals in that as well. But just a good report. ACOM certainly done their homework in that one. And obviously the pictures, if you look at those pictures, it's really, really a disaster state of affairs right enough. We have met down there on umpteen occasions. But I do agree with those who should be, you know, taking responsibility of it, and those forming a group or whatever it takes to do that, from the Moorns, KDA, the councillors and landowners, Rivers Edge and Inland Rivers. And I see Rivers, Inland Rivers is very much in favour of the option two. And I honestly think that option two would be the way to go. Option one, I would fear, could be a lot of money spent, and I'm not too sure whether it would answer the problem, because there still would be those grounds or stone, whatever you call them, would be blocking, and obviously continuing the creation of the blockage. And option three, pretty much to leave it, do what it's already like, and a lot of money been spent on maintenance, and in fact it nearly adds up to 30-year maintenance over it, is pretty much nearly the same as the other maintenance. So I think the idea, I really like the idea of closing the river into Nara, because there's not enough. That river dates back obviously a long time ago, but before the valleys were built, when the Silent Valley and then Cundam were opened up, that was the end of any amount of water coming down that river. So therefore there is not need for the width that it is, and that's obviously creating a problem. River too wide, not enough big enough flow. So that option two would sort that out. And I like the idea of the armour and concrete in around it, and sort of nearly leave it a hard finish to try and do away with that balsam weed and so on. Thanks, Chair, for letting me in there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor McKee. Councillor Rowan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's a similar item, but not the specific one in front of us. Andrew, about a month ago, I raised with you Donegagay Lake and Warren Point, and major fish kill in the lake, and the local fishermen had raised the issue with myself. I brought it to yourself, and a month later, I still have had no response. I did ask for a full report to be done on it, and for to come back to myself and the council to tell us exactly what happened. Why were the fish killed? Fishing Club are telling me that the council response is nothing to do with us. We aren't aware of it. The response has been absolutely, I can't even say anything, because I haven't got anything back in a month. And if we have to wait a month for somebody to come back to us to take an issue seriously and report on it, then we need to look at how we go about our business. Again, on the same phone call, I raised the issue about a tree in Church Street and Warren Point. It took me 3 weeks to get it cut back. Council responsibility. Totally not acceptable. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Rohan. I'll let Andrew respond there.
Thank you, Chair. On relation to the fish kill in the first instance, apologies for not coming back to you just yet because we're still waiting for response from the LOX Agency and Northern Ireland Environment Agency. Obviously, clearly, I know you have been in contact with Kevin regarding the tree, so I understand that matter is resolved. I'll come back to you in writing in the next day or so, Councillor Ryan.
Okay, thanks, Andrew.
Sure, can I respond to that there?
Go on ahead, make it brief. Listen, Councillor Ryan.
If a councillor has to wait a month for a director to come back to them, then there's something seriously wrong in how we do our business. The tree might be cut, and you can shake your head, Andrew. The tree might be cut, but the tree was only cut after myself continuously rung different individuals. And fair play to Kevin, when I did ring him, he made sure it was done. But it took, and I know my colleague Sinead Ennis sent an email into your cell phone Friday morning, and I have to say your response to her was totally unacceptable too. And I put a phone call to you that morning, which I didn't get a response to. So it's not acceptable, and I'm not going to accept it. But we would need to get to the bottom of what happened with the fish kill in Donegal Lake, because we have a fishing club there that feel the council have completely and utterly ignored and let them down.
Chair, I accept the councillor's comments and will come back to him very shortly on the fish kill.
Okay, thanks, Andrew. Okay, I had a proposer from Councillor Curran for item 4. Could I get a seconder for item 4, please? Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Okay. We'll move on to item 5, which is the report of Christmas Illuminations and Celebrations Group, meeting the 30th of June and the 6th of October 2022. And Kevin, this is you again.
It is, Chair. The report provides councillors with an opportunity to review the action sheets which are attached as Appendix 1 and Appendix 2 to the report for the councillors' Christmas Illumination Celebrations Group meeting, which took place on the 30th of June and the 6th of October this year. The committee is asked to note the content of the report and to agree the recommendations set within Sections 2.3 and 2.5 of the report. The recommendations in 2.3 relate to the findings of a commissioned evaluation of the Sustainable Christmas Tree Programme, which was first piloted by this council in 2018. The recommendations as set out in section 2.5 relate to a letter received from Castlewell Regeneration Limited to the council concerning this year's provision of Christmas illuminations and celebrations within the town. Chair, sure, happy to take any queries or questions in relation to the report. But,
thank you. Kevin, I see we have a question in there from Councillor Casey.
Thanks, Chair. Can you hear me okay? It's around 2.4. The contract for lighting illuminations finishes on January 23. Could you just remind me again how much the contract was per year for that? And how will the increase in energy costs affect any budgeting going forward? Thanks.
Sure, I don't have the figures to hand, and I'm happy to go back to the councillor following the meeting and provide that information. In terms of electricity costs, it seems to be a topic of quite considerable interest. We've had a number of queries over the past while in relation to this. The budget that we have this year for electricity costs for our Christmas illumination is somewhere in around about £10,500. And for the past number of years, our electricity bill at Christmas time would be in around that or slightly less than that. How we're charged for electricity for use of our Christmas illumination differs from how we normally pay for electricity. The electricity for our Christmas illumination is fed through the lampposts themselves, and the principal people who pay that bill is DFI Street Lighting. So when we put in our application, we need to get permission from DFI Street Lighting for that, and we need to have an electricity company who will charge us a bill for it. So on that, we need to tell that electricity company how many the locations that we're going to place these Christmas illuminations, what their wattage is, and how long they'll be on for during the day, what day they'll start being turned on and what day they'll be turned off. And from that, they do a mathematical calculation to work out what it costs us. So that's how it's done. It's not metered. It's done in that way. All of the Christmas pole illuminations that we use are LEDs. So they are low wattage. They're about, looking at some of them recently, they're 20 watts. Now, we have over maybe 700 of these pole illuminations, and my understanding is that they're all in around that. So they're low wattage usage. Hopefully that...
If I could just finish off, Chair, if you don't mind. Yeah, I'll take all that on board. But, I mean, people are stopping me in the street to say, because of increase in energy costs, is there a likelihood that, you know, lights will be on for 2 hours and then switched off again? Or is there any indication that would happen? Can we, you know, provide a service that we've provided, you know, every year for the last 10, 12, 15 years?
Again, because they're linked to the lamppost, the lights come on whenever the lights come on. So we don't control them. We don't have the capacity to say this year we're going to only put them on for 2 hours, or we're going to turn them off at 12 o'clock at night. They will stay on as long as the lights stay on. So there'll be no change from this year compared to last year.
All righty, happy enough there, Councillor Casey? Okay, thank you. A question in there from Councillor Clark.
Thanks very much, Chair. Just a point in regards to the Christmas trees that didn't do well, the sustainable trees that didn't do well. And my own area is Newcastle, the one man long didn't do well either. So it's a pity, because the whole ethos was to, you know, to reduce the cotton milk trees. So just to ask then, in the report it mentions about artificial trees that might replace these five trees. I would be in favour if that happened at Newcastle Harbour. Just Kevin's view in regards to it.
One of the other things Chair picked up in the report is the fact that we've come to the end of the contract, and officers will bring back a business case or an economic appraisal about what we're going to do in the future. And as part of that consideration, we will put before the committee different alternatives for how we can do it in the future. And one of those alternatives that will be costed out will be the option whereby we can hire illuminations as opposed to buying illuminations, and that will open opportunity for us perhaps for individual sites where we want to provide a small artificial tree. It would give us the option. That would all be based on terms of what budget's available and costs available. It also gives the opportunity going forward to vary things a little bit more than we have so far been able to do with the existing contracts. Very much our contract at the moment is based on this is what we have and this is what we put up. But we have an opportunity here to consider all our options whereby we move away from owning lots of stuff to maybe hiring things, and that creates more ability to have different choices, different years.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
And what Kevin's saying, there will be three this year.
No.
That all sounds very, you know, long drawn. You know, we're in October, like, you know.
Currently, there's no proposal to do anything along the promenade this year, Councillor. We do have two large Christmas trees from last year, which are still in the pot, in their pots within the depot. Two of the five sites where the trees have failed are Bessbrook and sorry, just bear with me. sorry. Two of the towns where it's affected are Bessbrook and Annalong. Now, those two towns, historically, the council has provided a cut Christmas tree, and they're the towns that moved away to the sustainable ones. So the logic that we as officers would apply here is that we would seek to use those two existing trees in the pots in those two locations. That leaves us with an issue in terms of the remaining ones, Drummer Road, Newcastle, and Meath. And we don't currently have a solution for those, but we're happy to try and work with the local communities to see what we can do in those particular locations to bring a little bit more Christmas into that than we currently are able to do with the existing trees at those locations.
Thanks,
Kevin. Okay, I see we have a proposal in there from Councillor Finnegan for item 5, and I'm happy to second that, if we're happy enough to move on. Item 6 is the update on the cleansing workshop, and Sinead, that's you.
Thank you, Chair. So this report is for decision, and the purpose of the report is to seek committee approval on the report of the elected member district cleansing workshop, which was held on the 5th of October 2022. The workshop proposed a new direction for district cleansing services, and that was in line with recommendations from the previous cleansing workshops that were held in November 21 and February 2022. A recap from the last workshop was provided to the elected members, including a summary of the preferred option, and that was to provide an equitable service across the district to consistent service standards with increased budget allocation. Members will see in the report an overview of the proposals for the future delivery were presented, and these were a common methodology, both mechanical and manual, for cleansing services that will be applied across the district, and that would deliver the equitable standard of cleansing and achieve compliance with legal standards. The proposal is for a 7-day-a-week planned cleansing service delivered through 10 areas across the district and supported with quick response teams and additional resources when required, for example, seasonally. Staffing levels were outlined that were required to deliver the service, including reprofiling and upskilling of existing staff resources, and the associated revenue implications were presented. Arrangements for the routine deep cleansing of specific paved areas across the district were outlined, along with capital investment proposals. And finally, an implementation of a litter bin audit, planned inspection replacement programme, and a policy on litter bin provision. A full report of the workshop is provided at Appendix 1, and the following next steps were noted. So to table this report at this committee, seek approval for the capital investment and the revenue budget for 23-24. Seek further advice from HR and Finance in relation to the implications of the changes of working patterns and revenue costs, consultation with trade unions and affected staff, and the commencement of a phased implementation of the new regime. A copy of the presentation is provided at Appendix 2, and members are asked to note that there are no resource implications arising from the report. However, decisions arising from the finalisation of the review will have resource implications, both capital and revenue, as outlined here in the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Sinead. We have a proposer in there, Councillor Andrews, and seconded by Councillor Owen. Councillor Andrews, have you a comment?
I have indeed, Chair. Thank you very much. First of all, in relation to the report and the summary of the workshop that's presented here this evening, I must say that was of concern the workshop. I must say that was a worthwhile exercise and provided a perfect opportunity to convey to officers, constituents' feelings and views on such an important service district-wide. I do look forward to the implementation, as I'm sure many others do, of what has been envisaged. And the point that I have raised many times over the years is the implementation of an agreement that was signed by the former Department of Employment and Learning. I think Stephen Farry was minister at the time, and the likes of Down District Council. At the time, it would have been of a scheme that would give young people and those unemployed a chance of employment in the likes of our waste collection service and other departments within the local authority, you know, in the likes of getting more street cleansers into our towns and villages, which I'm sure the end result of the workshop will do. And the report is there somewhere, you know, and I'm sure at this juncture we'd be more than grateful if the recommendations can be included alongside the workshop. But I do again, I fully support it, and I'm delighted to propose that we go ahead with the recommendations that's outlined in the paper.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Clark, have you a comment?
Yeah, Chair, thank you. It's a great piece of work that's been done, Sinead, and it's a great report. One issue that comes up with me all the time is regards to street cleansing in estates and the amount of cars that are in estates, and problems then getting vehicles in and getting access to, you know, cleanse housing estates. So I suppose my point is that will there be a schedule made available for each town and DEA about street cleansing, when it's going to be carried out? This is to alert residents, to allow residents to know that street cleansing is going to take place, and then maybe cars could be moved to allow that to happen. The development of an app also might, you know, lend itself to that when people know the cleanse is going to take place, that then they can shift their cars. It's the same with bin collection as well. It's the same issues as well. People can't get, refuse drivers can't get in, and then bins are missed, you know. So it's a similar sort of line. If we had that information available, you know, on an app, it'd be a lot easier moving forward. It's more a comment, sure.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. That's a well-made comment. I think everyone's in agreement here. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 7, which is the notice of motion, revenue from EV charging infrastructure. This is from Councillor Enright that was sent to this committee from the full council meeting. Councillor Enright, I'm just conscious of the fact that Councillor McMurray is absent from the meeting. Have you someone else to second this motion?
Yes,
Councillor Murphy? Okay.
Yes,
so, Councillor Enright, do you want to read out your motion again, or are you taking it as read?
Well, given the fact that management seems to be supporting it in their report, Chairperson, it's turned to a pretty non-controversial motion. So I won't read the motion to save you time, but if I can just say a few words with that, it's all right.
Yes, go on ahead, Councillor Enright.
So basically, we're in a situation where the council has about 140 car parks of its own. It's got over 1,000 managed on-street parking spots in towns like Kilkeel or in Newry, Warren Point, that sort of area. And we have 51 car parks we manage on behalf of the department we took over during RPA. So it would appear that the EV charging companies are interested in the ones that originally were belonging to the council, of which almost every settlement in our council area has at least one. And it would appear that the economics of EV charging has changed, in which they are now looking to rent parking spots and share revenue with council. I don't know to what extent, is it a penny a kilowatt or what the case might be. So I recently introduced the biggest charging company to the council, but there are two others. And so basically this is suggesting that we should look at our 140 car parks that we have in virtually every town and village in our area and see which ones might be useful and which ones the various EV charging companies might want to rent off us and might want to share revenue with us. The management report seems to support this idea, so I'm happy with the management report as it stands, Chairperson.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. Just going to clarify something here before we move on. Is Councillor Enright okay to propose as a non-committee member or no?
I'm happy to second if you want, if that makes
okay,
sense.
Okay, so Councillor Murphy, are you happy to propose? And who, and Councillor Owen, is that you? Yeah,
that's
Councillor
me.
Owen's going to
just
second.
If it makes it easier for you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Murphy, did you want to speak on it at all? Or no, you're happy enough? Andrew, do you want to come back?
No, Chair. I'm content with the recommendation and the support.
That's great. Thanks very much, Councillor Enright. It seems to have gone through easy enough. So we'll move on to item 8, if everyone's... Oh, sorry. Items 8, 9 and 10 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and by the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Could I get a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session, please? Proposed by Councillor Finnegan and seconded by Councillor Murphy. Okay, thank you. Okay, so in committee it was agreed on item 8, which was the proposed phase 2 extension to Kilbroney Municipal Cemetery. On the proposal of Councillor Tinley, seconded by Councillor McKevitt, it was agreed to note the content of the report and to proceed with option 2 for the phase 2 development of Kilbroney Municipal Cemetery. Option 2 will include refurbishment works to the existing cemetery site and an extension to the cemetery, circa 208 burial plots in line with current planning approval. It was also proposed to bring forward a proposal for lights for phase 1 and 2 and the compound once planning has been approved. Yeah. Item 9, the ARC 21 Joint Committee Members Monthly Bulletin dated the 29th of September 2022 on the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Andrews. It was agreed to note this bulletin. Item 10, ARC 21 Joint Committee Meeting in Committee Minutes of 25th of August 2022 on the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Andrews. It was agreed to note these minutes. Thank you. So our final item on the agenda is item 11, which is the historical action sheet. Could I get a proposer and a seconder for item 11 if there's no issues? I see Councillor Taylor, have you comment?
Yeah, yes, Chair, thank you. It's relating to page 8 of the historic actions tracker sheet. It's relevant to the business case for maintenance of town clocks. I can give the reference as NS174/2021. There's a number of clocks, obviously, where we maintain within the, you know, within the district. Recently, I received contact from St Mary's Parish Church in John Mitchell Place regarding their clock. Now, many years ago, apparently, the council provided some support in terms of maintenance to that clock. It's obviously a very prominent building within the city centre. I would like to propose that we look at including St Mary's on that schedule that we have at the moment. It was something that was done previously, and I think, you know, many years ago, I'm told, but it's not at the moment. So I think, you know, I'd like to propose that St Mary's is included on the schedule that we have at present in terms of maintenance of clocks within the district.
Chair, we're happy to review that and work with the councillor in terms of the information that's available about the council's previous role in that, and bring back a report to committee if that's suitable. Just as an update, we were out to tender in terms of appointing a contractor. Tender's closed and we're currently assessing the submissions, and we hope to be in a position to appoint a contractor, which will take us into a much more firmer position than we have been up until this point. And we'll be able to set up a maintenance regime for a number of clocks that we currently maintain, and hopefully provide a better service than they've had up until this point. But yes, content if the committee so wishes for us to review this with the councillor and bring back a report as to what action we would recommend.
Okay, Councillor Taylor, are you happy enough?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I'm happy to propose item 11, and I see Councillor Stokes has seconded. So that brings us to the end of our meeting. Thanks very much, everyone, for attending, and we'll see you again in November. All right. Thank you.